Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. You're welcome to today's Bible study class. It's been an amazing time in God's presence. We've been looking at the book of Luke. And today we're going straight to Luke chapter 23. I want to say a very big thank you to every one of you that has been listening to this podcast. God bless you richly in Jesus' name. Amen. My prayer this morning is even as we look into God's word together, the entrance of his word will bring light to us and understanding in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So Luke chapter 23, we see how that Jesus was handed over to Pontius Pilate. You know, these guys came, verse 1, the whole multitude arose and led Jesus to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." I mean, that's a big lie. There was never a time Jesus said they shouldn't pay tribute to Caesar. If you remember when Jesus said, you know, whatever it is for Caesar, give it to Caesar, and whatever it is that is to God, give it to God. But they had to even lie against Jesus just to find something, you know, to use against him, even though he never did that. But you know, Jesus didn't even see anything. He didn't defend himself. He was just quiet because he knew it was time anyways for him to be crucified. And Pilate said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He said, "Yes, you have said it." Then Pilate said to the chief priest and the crowd, "I have found no fault in this man, but they were more fierce. He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Judea, from Galilee to this place," you know. And then after that, Jesus faced Herod. But you know, one thing I found out about Pilate is the fact that Pilate was not willing to, you know, crucify Jesus Christ. He wanted to, by all means, you know, save the life of Jesus Christ. Do you know that Pilate was not even a born-again person? Pilate was not even a Christian at all. He was not one of the Jews. It was not like, do you know, it was the Jews that killed Jesus. And this same Pilate was never a Jew. So someone who is an unbeliever had conscience more than someone who is actually children of Abraham, people who read the Bible. Pilate was not someone who had read the Bible. The Jews had read the Bible. They knew who Jesus Christ was. They were supposed to know who Jesus Christ was. They were supposed to expect the coming of Jesus. And then these guys killed Jesus Christ, having read the Bible page by page, having had several encounters with, you know, in church, in the temple, having done all the sacrifices and everything, yet they killed Jesus. And here is an unbeliever, someone who does not even have the Bible in his palace. He still had that conscience. And honestly, it's really bad if you as a believer, you have zero conscience. And you know, we still have unbelievers that have conscience. They want to do something wrong, their conscience just stops them and then they can't do that thing. But you, a believer, despite the fact that your conscience keeps talking to you not to do that thing, you have decided to turn deaf ears to your conscience. And it's so, so terrible. Pilate was not willing to kill Jesus Christ. But the people who had the Bibles, they had that form of godliness. They were the one who actually killed Jesus Christ. Well, I hope that God will help us to listen to our conscience and God will give us grace, so much so that at the end of the day, we'll not be taking lessons from unbelievers. In Jesus' name, amen. It's, if in your space, in your community, the person that you all are looking up to is an unbeliever, then there is a problem. If the person you are all looking up to is an unbeliever, then there is a major problem. If there are a lot of believers there, and the only person we all can look up to, the only person we can use as role model, is even more worse if you are being asked as a believer, who are your role models? And you list out 10 people, 5 people, and all the 5, no one among them is a believer. Is that not a shame? So it's so bad. It's so bad that you know, the only person that had that conscience, that was not willing to kill Jesus, was not even a believer. May God help us in Jesus' name. Well, another lesson we can learn from Pilate is, despite the fact that the conscience kept telling him that what he was going to do was very bad, He still went ahead to do it. So what's the point? What's the point allowing your conscience to talk to you and then you didn't listen to your conscience? This guy was so stupid that he asked for a bowl, washed his hands, and then told them, no matter how much you try to wash your hands or wash anything, as long as you still go ahead to do that thing, then you're more or less worse than the people doing it too. I mean, you are more or less the same thing with every other person. So listen to your conscience. That's one major lesson. Listen to your conscience. If the Lord is asking you not to do it, don't do it. You know, we all have that conscience. I have never in my life, when I was still a teenager, tried to steal meat from my mother's pot and my conscience would not tell me not to. It has never happened. Before I would get to the kitchen, I would have heard it many times in my spirit. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But I would still go ahead and steal. Praise God. We thank God for grace today. Hallelujah. So it's not just about stealing. Many things, many other things. Why do you keep saying it was the devil that... I don't know why I usually use sleeping with other sisters as an example. Why would you keep saying it was the devil that allowed you to commit fornication? Is it the devil that took you from your house? So you transported yourself to... You just appeared in the sister's house. It wasn't like you walked. You didn't use the bike. You didn't use car. You just, from your room, appeared in her room. That was how it happened. Wait, did you not, with your two legs, walk to her room? And then while you were walking, you knew the Holy Ghost was telling you, don't go, stop it. But you feel that you could manage. And then at the end of the day, you messed up. So listen to your conscience. Listen to those little voices. That small, still voice that keeps telling you, don't do it. Or that tells you, do it. That small voice that wakes you up in the middle of the night. I've said it many times. If you by mistake wake up in the middle of the night, it is not coincidence. It is not because you want to go and urinate. Haven't you slept many times all night and you didn't urinate? And you still did not bed wet. So you think it's because you want to urinate. That's why you wake up at midnight. Every single time you wake up at midnight, it is because there is a call to pray. Don't even try to go back to bed without praying. Even if it means saying 5-10 words, go back. Before going back to bed, make sure you say something. Pray. Pray every single time you have the opportunity to wake up at midnight. It is the Holy Ghost waking you up. As a believer, the Holy Ghost is waking you up to pray. So don't ever take all of these things for granted. God speaks to us. He speaks to our heart. Don't be like Pilate. The Holy Spirit told him, don't do it. There was that conscience that kept coming. That conscience did not leave him. Don't do it. But he went ahead. He did it. Remember Darius? He had already signed that whoever prayed would be thrown in the lion's den. And then Daniel prayed. He loved Daniel, but because of the people, he listened to the people. He threw Daniel into the lion's den. He knew what he wanted to do was wrong, but because he wanted to please the people, because he could not listen to his conscience. Don't be like Darius. Don't be like Pilate. May God help us in Jesus' name. Finally, Jesus was crucified. And then he was crucified with two other criminals, you know, verse 34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I mean, you're already on the cross. People killed you. The biggest offense that has ever been done in the world is the offense that was done to Jesus. There is nothing anybody can do to you on earth. Nothing anybody can do. Let them kill your dad, your mom, and your siblings. It can never be compared to the offense that we offended Jesus. What those guys did to Jesus can never be compared with what anybody will do to you. Trust me, nothing. They killed Jesus. They beat him. And Jesus never... See, do you know how many times you've offended the person that offended you? That person that offended you, you have also offended the person one way or the other. Jesus did not offend anybody. Jesus went about, Bible says he went about doing good. Acts 4:38. He was doing just good, healing the sick, helping people. That was all Jesus did when he was on earth. They killed him for it. And despite that, what was Jesus' response? Hey, Father, forgive them, for they do not... See, what is that thing that they did to you? Do you think it is that bad? Can it be compared to what was done to Jesus Christ? Never. So if Jesus can forgive, you have no excuse. I've said it many times. It's not easy to forgive. I know. But is it easy to go to hell? It's not easy to go to hell. When Jesus was teaching us the Lord's Prayer, he made more emphasis. After teaching us the Lord's Prayer, he now emphasized on forgiveness. He said, for if you do not forgive, I will not forgive you. So if you want forgiveness from God, you have to forgive others. What did they do to you that is that bad that you have decided to hold that person in your heart? Do you know how bad it is not to forgive? Apart from the fact that you are already treading the path of hell, Every prayer you pray in this world, as long as you have someone in your heart that you have refused to forgive, no matter how much you sweat in the place of prayer, no matter how much you cry and beg God, whatever you say in prayer, Bible says he's not even hearing. It's not like God said he will hear, he will not answer. He did not even hear your prayer. Because he will never hear the prayer of someone who has not forgiven. The first thing you need to do before you even pray to God is to, first of all, you know, forgive the person, release the person in your heart. The moment you release that person, then you can pray to God and then God will listen. God will answer you. But you did not release the person. You did not pray for the person. And then you didn't pray and release. It's not just releasing the person. You have to also forgive intentionally and pray for that person. Until then, you are joking. So as believers, forgiveness should be very easy. You are saying it again. I know it is difficult. It is not easy. But even what they did to Joseph was even worse. What they did to Joseph is even bigger than whatever it is they've done to you, I think. So let alone Jesus Christ. But he forgave. I understand that it is difficult. I understand that your dad was so bad. I understand that the guy raped you. Forgive. It's not easy, but you have to forgive. That is why you're a believer in the first place. Because God knows that you're not going to be able to do it by yourself. This is why you have the Holy Ghost. Prove that you have the Holy Ghost. Come on. You can't be living your life continuously like that with unforgiveness. When will you now forgive the person? No, not in this world. When do you want to forgive? Say, some of you say, not in this world will I ever forgive. Where do you want God to forgive the person? In heaven. I know it's not easy, but the Lord will give us grace. In Jesus' name. And then they divided his garment, verse 34, still in verse 34, and they cast lot. And all of these things that they did to Jesus were all fulfillment of prophecy. Even the death of Jesus Christ was a fulfillment of prophecy. Everything that happened to Jesus was a fulfillment of prophecy. There is a prophecy on you. There is a prophecy over your life. There is something God has written concerning your life. There is a script that has been written concerning you. How I wish you can pray for the rest of your life that, Lord, let me just follow that script, that thing that you have written concerning me. That is all I want to do with my life. Everything. It's a very major prayer, a big prayer. You know what it means that God has ordained you to be a prophet and you are there looking for how you want to be the bank manager, or you are looking for how you want to be an accountant. Everything that was written concerning Jesus was what he did, including his death. Even that challenge you are going through is scripted. It's part of the script. If Joseph had seen his script before he started making it, he probably would have cursed God and said, God, is this the script you want me to play out? Some of you, the reason why you are going through what you are going through is because it is written. God has written it like that. Enjoy that moment. No wonder the Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Because if God can open our eyes to see what he has written concerning us, those little challenges that we face will be nothing. The script that was written concerning Jesus was that he would die at some point. If he had seen it, he probably... But he knew. That was why he went to pray. If this cup can pass over, but not my will, but your will. Because he knew that after that death, there is glory. After that thing you are going through, there is glory waiting. There is something that God has in plan for your life. So stop feeling terrible about those challenges. Those challenges are actually supposed to bring out the glory of God in you. Hallelujah. Finally, Jesus Christ died. Yeah, he died. He literally died. So, yeah. Jesus died. But the beautiful thing which we're going to be considering in the next chapter is that Jesus Christ did not die and die forever. He died and he rose again. Jesus Christ is risen. Huh? Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to be looking at tomorrow. So thank you very much for joining to this podcast. We're going to end Luke chapter 20, the book of Luke tomorrow. And I'm just going to encourage you. The book of John is beautiful. Oh my God. You don't want to miss the book of John. I am pleading. I'm begging. Make sure you join us as we look into the book of John together. Oh my God. You are going to be blessed. I promise you. It's one of my best books of the Gospels. I love that book. I love the book of John. So please make sure you join us as we conclude the Gospels. We've done Matthew, Mark, Luke. And then we end Luke tomorrow. And then we'll go straight to the book of John. Thank you very much, guys. I love you. God bless you. I celebrate you. See you tomorrow. Bye for now.